Amen. Open up with me this morning to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. We're going to feed off of the Wednesday night message. We're going to feed off of that a little bit. Everybody knows that here in America, how many of y'all love America? Amen. Do you love the nation that you're living in?
Yes.
If you don't, you need to get on the airplane with me sometimes.
That's right.
And when you come home, you'll love America a lot more. I've seen some people leave America and come back when they got off the plane. They got off the plane and they kissed the ground. They kissed the pavement. They kissed the dirt whenever they realized how blessed they really were. You know, that's one reason why we got a lot of people wanting to come to America. You don't see them fighting to get into Mexico. You don't see them fighting to get into Myanmar. You don't see them fighting to get into Haiti. You see them getting on boats and rafts and walking hundreds and thousands and thousands of miles to get to the border of America, because they understand that America is a place of opportunity. America is a place that most people in the world look at our country and say, man, that is one blessed nation. But for those that are living here, we know the truth. That our nation, really, it is blessed. But it ain't nowhere where it used to be. Spiritually. And we ain't nowhere near blessed financially as we used to be. How many of y'all know that our country, which is the most prosperous nation in the world, is over $33 trillion in debt. If a country is in debt, you can't call them blessed and prosperous.
No.
We're surviving because we got printing presses. Whenever we need more money, we just print it. But all that does is weaken and devalue our money. Our money, a dollar, is not worth a dollar no more. I don't even know what it's worth, maybe 40 cents. But it ain't nowhere worth 75 cents. And the value of it is really low because we don't have anything to back it up. It's just paperless, every time we want to loan somebody some more money, we just go cut down some more pine trees and print some more $100 bills. America is in really bad shape. And today, I want us to look at the Bible and help us figure out those that love America, there ain't but one thing we can do, and that's begin to pray for America. And not only pray, but we have to redo some things. We have to do some things right in the eyes of God if we ever going to turn this nation back around and get it going in the right direction that it needs to be. And they ain't but one direction, and that's God's way. But if America don't turn back to God, we are doomed to be destroyed, not only not by our enemy, but America is going to be destroyed from within. The Bible says, Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. We are no longer the United States of America, only on paper, only by name. But there's a lot of division in America, a lot of division. And a lot of it has got a lot to do with, division's always behind it. Satan is always behind the division. You got to understand, God blesses and God multiplies. But the devil, he's the divider. He wants to divide husbands and wives. He's the instigator behind divorce. He's the one that divides and splits churches. He gets into people and they begin to complain and murmur and find fault with one another. Next thing you know, the church is divided. I can't even tell you how many times a church in Morgan County that is ongoing today came from a split. This one split, and this one grew. And after a while, this one split, and that one grew. And this one split, and that one split, and this one split, and that one split. Half of Morgan County got over 100 churches in this little town. And probably a good 25-30% of them came from church splits. Can I have an amen? Anybody knows anything about this town can say amen. Amen. I know what I'm talking about. But the devil's always behind the division. And America, if we don't get our stuff together, we're going to end up losing our great country. That's at stake, y'all. Tuesday, we have a huge election coming up. America is founded on a democracy. A democracy means the people have a choice of voting and electing people into office that's supposed to be leading our country. We have a big government. Can I have any amens ahead of that? Amen. We have a huge government. And I think really, some of my own personal opinions, that our government is a little bit too big.
Yeah, it is.
Anything really you look at today and trace it back, if the government's got anything to do with it, it's a flop.
Amen.
Amen.
If you don't believe me, look at the United States Postal Service. It ain't what it used to be. Right now, if you put something in the mail, you better take it yourself. Because if you don't, it's going to get in the wrong mailbox, or it might get there a month later. If you're going to mail a bill, you better mail it a month early, because it's so slow. And one of the problems they tell me at the post office and other corporations, they have a problem finding anybody to work. Y'all hear me?
Yes.
People won't work no more.
Amen.
I cannot wrap my head around it. The Bible says something about that. It says, if a man does not work, he should not eat. Amen?
Amen.
Working is a God thing.
Yes.
Amen? But here's what's
happening.
I mean, I'm just going to talk to y'all from my heart. But I'm going to express truth to you. And we're going to back it all up with the word. Man, I lost my train of thought.
Not working.
Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Help me, Holy Ghost, today. The government had brought people into bondage. Our government. How? By giving them. We're going to give you this. We're going to give you that. We're going to give you this. We're going to give you a house. We're going to give you a phone. We're going to give you food stamps. We're going to give you this. We're going to give you that. We're going to give you free education. We're going to give you. You can go to college and wrap up all these fees, and guess what? JoJo said, we're going to pay your debt. We're going to pay your financial debt that you have accumulated in college, which could be easily $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $100,000, easily. And some folks ain't going to college to get an education. They're going to get government grants, scholarships off of the government, taking out student loan to go party.
Amen.
They ain't going to get no education. They ain't coming out there with no diploma. But JoJo said, I'm going to pay your debt. I don't believe in it. Y'all believe in it? I'm going to tell you, JoJo ain't paying it. You paying it. Because anything the government pays, they say it's free. Ain't nothing free in here, y'all. Amen? Ain't nothing free. If anything been given, it's the taxpayers that paid it. Amen? Them student loans, them billions of dollars that went into paying student loans, The taxpayers paid that. That came out of your pocket. That came out of your check. And JoJo took your money and paid for somebody's else debt that I don't think it should have been paid for. You know, if you give a free copy of a book to somebody, y'all hear me now. If you give a free copy of a book to somebody, you know most likely they ain't reading it. You know why? Because they ain't invested. They ain't got nothing in it. Anytime you ain't got nothing invested in it, you don't take care of it. Amen. If you don't believe me, buy your child a car. Right. Give it to them. Don't let them get a job, make a payment. And I tell you what, they won't wash that car. They won't take care of that car. You look inside that car, it look like the junkyard. But let me tell you something. If they go down there to McDonald's, or they go down to Arby's, or they go down to Walmart, they go down to Lowe's, they get them a job, and they work for that car and make payments on that car, they'll take care of that car.
You're right.
Because they invested in it.
That's right.
Y'all don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. We're going to drop the bomb in here today. We're going to try our best to get kicked off of YouTube. But y'all, the truth is the truth. America is sick.
They are sick.
And they have nothing called common sense no more. I'd rather have somebody running the presidential office, the vice president, Congress, Senate, House of Representatives, the Sheriff's Office, anybody that's got some common sense.
Amen.
Somebody that ain't cuckoo. And this here woke stuff, this woke culture, is completely brainless. These folks is cuckoo. They don't know what bathroom to even go into. That's a good sign this guy here ain't playing with a full deck.
That's right.
Whenever he goes to the airport and they got a lady sign on this side and a man sign on this side, and you a man and you standing there looking like, I wonder which one I'm supposed to go into. You got problems. I ain't never had that problem. I just, yes, I go in there, and I'm with the right group of folks. Feel right at home.
That's right.
But there's a lot of stuff going on in America today that just don't make sense. And you know who's behind all of it? The devil himself. And the devil has got his hands and his claws into a lot of people living on this planet. And a lot of them is really messed up right here in America. You know, our nation was founded, I believe, I ain't a great historian guy, but I think it was around 1776. And our founders came up with a constitution. And our forefathers that came up with that constitution, they were praying men. If you read the history of America, you'll find out that these men got together before they started writing, they got to praying. They were seeking the Lord's will. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It wasn't about this race, that race. It was supposed to be liberty for everybody, but our nation was supposed to be under God. Do you know they are printing coin today and they're leaving out "In God We Trust" on the coins? They're leaving it out. And that shows you the decline in our spiritual state in our nation when they have started doing that.
That's right.
But it's been a long time before then. But our nation has been going for 248 years, if it was founded in 1776, to 2024 is 248 years. Y'all, this nation is going to be like Rome. We're making the same mistakes that Rome made. And Rome was the most powerful nation in the world. And Rome ruled Israel in the times in the life of Jesus Christ. And they were destroyed not from the outside enemies, but they were destroyed from the inside out.
That's right.
And the United States, if we don't get our stuff together and start putting God first, we are in danger of losing this precious, precious country called the United States of America, which was founded by God Himself. Now, I got a lot to say today. I don't know if we're going to get done with it. But biblically, the United States and Israel have a lot of things in common.
Yes, they do.
A lot of things in common. The one thing the United States has got going for them is they became an ally to the nation of Israel a long time ago.
That's right.
An ally. Which means that we are with you. We will fight for you. We will help you. We will stand by your side against your enemies. That's what the United States has done with Israel for many years. But lately, the last 12, 15 years, we've had some administrations come into our government that did not like Israel. I ain't got to name no name, but I'm here to tell you, you don't ever want to place a vote for somebody that's anti-Israel.
That's right.
Amen.
If they are against Israel, they are anti-Christ.
That's right.
They are anti-God.
Yes, they are.
And you don't want to be on the side when the wrath of God comes and you ain't on the right side.
That's right.
The one thing that God blessed America for is because we did join and with Israel and stand with Israel. But the day we turn our back on Israel is when you're going to see a lot of things go down real fast for America. During those years that the Prime Minister of Israel came to see our President in the United States, and our President, not naming no name, wouldn't even meet with him. He shunned him. He rejected him. And it wasn't long after that, 9-1-1 came. Destruction. All that's got to happen for America to go down is God removed the hedge.
That's right.
Yes, it is.
All he got to do is remove the hedge of protection. And once he removed the hedge, it don't matter how many soldiers you got, drones you got, and bombs you got. When God removes the hedge, the enemy will come in like a flood.
That's right. Come on.
And that's what happened on 9-1-1. God said, I've had enough of this. He pulled the hedge back, and then here come the terrorists. Now, let me get to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Where is my glass? Dum 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 dum. Here we go. Either work. What we got to do is we got to begin to pray, church.
Yes, amen.
Monday, tomorrow.
Yes.
They're calling for prayer all over the United States at 6 o'clock p.m. to be praying for our country. Tuesday is a big day. And some people don't understand, even in the church house, how important it is to put godly leaders, good leaders, in the right place.
That's right.
As a Christian, the way we should determine our voting is not by CNN, not by Fox, not by Newsmax, not by NBC. It should be biblically convictions.
That's
biblical
right.
Convictions.
Come on.
What does the Word of God say about who I agree with and who I disagree with? And it's got nothing to do with color.
That's right.
It's got everything to do with their agenda and the way they live and the way that leader is going to lead our nation. And if you don't care about your children and their children, just go down there and vote any kind of way you want to. Because God will let you have your way.
That's right.
If you choose an ungodly leader, you will have to live under their rule. And ungodly leaders don't lead you into righteousness. I did a study the other day on the kings of Israel. The kingdom of Israel was divided at one point into two kingdoms. They had two kings. They had a king for Israel, and they had a king for Judah. It was divided into two kingdoms. Every king on this study that was a king in Israel, you can look at this in the book of, in the Bible, in 1 Kings and 2 Kings. It tells you about the chronological order of the kings of Israel. And you read about them, and it'll start off by saying, and this one was a good king. He followed the Lord. And then when you read about another king, this king died, this king came forward. And this king did not follow in the ways of his father after the Lord. He was a wicked king. And Israel, the kingdom of Israel, had 19 wicked kings in a row. 19 wicked kings, unrighteous, unholy, not willing to follow the Lord, 19 in a row. Well, I ain't got to tell you that don't work out too good for Israel.
No.
It don't. And then the kingdom of Judah. I can't remember exactly how many they had, but they would have a good one, and maybe a good one. Then they'd have a bad one. Then they might have a good one. Then they have a bad one. Then they have a bad one. Then they have a bad one. And they get back to a good one. They were kind of like a roller coaster in Judah. But David was one of the kings of Judah. And finally brought both kingdoms back together. But he started off at the king of Judah. David, you know, here's the thing about leaders. Leaders are not perfect. If you're looking to go to the ballot box and looking for a perfect person, Jesus ain't running for president.
Amen. That's right.
And he's the only one that was ever perfect.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
But the rest of them got flaws.
That's right.
But can God use a man that's flawed? Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Can he use a person that's flawed? Yes.
Amen.
The Bible full of them. You know why God uses people with flaws? Because he ain't got no other choice.
That's right. That's right. Come on.
We all flawed.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
God don't got no choice. If he's looking around just for perfect people, he like, well, I can't use that one. According to my righteousness and holiness, I can't use him either. I can't use him. I can't use her. I can't use... God, well, I got to start using somebody. This world going to be a mess.
That's right. Come on.
So he started using people that's imperfect. Samson was imperfect. David, a great king, had flaws. He started off good, but after he took the kingdom, hallelujah, he fell into sin, killed her husband, had an illegitimate child, the child died. I mean, he got into a mess. Solomon, with all his wisdom, started off good, had more wealth, more gold, built the greatest temples, hallelujah, had more wisdom than any man that had ever been born beside Jesus. But this man, he was a womanizer. Mm-hmm. He had over 400 and something different wives.
Come on.
How many of y'all men in here say, I know that ain't gonna work?
Amen.
All y'all men in here say, oh my goodness, what? He went from being wise to a super dummy.
That's right.
Woo! And you know what? Them wives he had led him into idol worship.
That's right.
Yes, it did.
Led him away from the Lord.
That's right.
Man, the devil is always after leaders. Always after leaders. I said Wednesday night, and let me read the scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For all men. For kings. And all who are in authority. That we may lead a quiet and a peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. If there's anything we lacking in America today is the knowledge of truth.
That's right.
But he said that we need to be praying for all men. And first of all, we need to be praying for kings. What's he talking about? He's talking about praying for those in authority. Those at the top of the chain of command. Those are the people you need to be praying for. And I know we have not done a good job as a church in that role model. We have not prayed for those who are in authority like we ought to. That might be the church's fault. Why we have so many ungodly leaders in top positions, because we have failed to pray. And then when we get a person in leadership, whether it be the president, the prime minister, the head of the state, or whatever it may be, if they had the chain of command, if we ain't praying for them, they start getting off the track and they just keep going and they lead the whole nation into darkness. We got to be careful. We got to pray for people in leadership, because the devil comes after those at the top. He's smart. He ain't dumb. He ain't worried about the folks out there digging ditches with shovels. They can't change the nation. A guy at the top of the White House, if he's the president of the United States of America, or if he's the king in Thailand, or the king in Cambodia, and they still have kings today in other countries. I think there, once the Queen of England died, the king took over. There's a king there now. And the devil, you become on his hit list whenever you become the top of the chain of command. The devil is sending, when we get attacked, we're getting attacked by demons. We're getting attacked by principalities and things. But whenever you get at the top of the chain of command, you get a bullseye on your head. And the devil ain't sending one of these little old guys to you. He's sending one of these rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And the devil himself, he can't be everywhere at one time, but he will go himself and attack leaders at the top of the chain of command. So that's why we need to be praying for them, because the devil's coming after them. The prime minister of Israel, man, he needs prayer. Our president, no matter who they are, they need prayer. Amen? Whether you agree with them, you didn't vote for them, or whatever, the Bible said, pray for them.
That's right.
I've prayed for presidents that I didn't really care for. But the Bible said, pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Because the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he's able to turn it whichever way he desires.
That's right.
The Lord can turn a man if we pray. Amen? But the devil has people in position to bring about this system called the Babylonian system, which is more detailed, the Antichrist system.
Right.
He's got people in place and position to bring about the Antichrist system here in the world. It ain't only going to be here in America. It's going to be throughout the world. He's putting people there that go right along with that system. Do y'all know what? One day we come into a system, the Antichrist system, where the devil's, the Antichrist is going to be the devil's son. He's the son of perdition. He's wicked. He's sinful. He's going to be a homosexual. Book of Revelation says that. I ain't got time to show you everything today. I'm just here to tell you, he's going to come and he's going to sign a peace treaty with Israel one day for 7 years. That's going to be the start of the 7-year tribulation period. But he wants a one world government, one world religion, and one world economy. There won't be no cash. It'll all be digitally done. It'll be the number of a man. 666 is the Antichrist system. And to get to buy or sell, you got to have that number of a man. 666, which is everybody in here got a number already. Everybody got a social security number.
Right.
Listen, if you don't think you're gonna get a job, or you gotta do something, you try to do it without your driver's license and your social security card and see how far you get if you ain't got no number.
That's right.
If you ain't got no number, guess what? They're gonna tell you, go get you a number.
Uh-huh.
But listen, that is not the Antichrist system. But it's before the Antichrist system. It's just setting it all up to go into a flow. Everything going to a flow. Right now, how many of y'all know it? Whenever you go to go get you something, buy or sell, probably 90% of the people today is using digital means, plastic, to buy or sell. It's all digitally done by scan. Amen? How many of y'all still toting a lot of cash around the end of the day? When you buy your gas, y'all pay for it with cash? We got one.
I do.
And we got two. But if you had 500, you might have 20. That still pays gas, cash for the car. You go to a big entertainment center or venue, you go to UGA, to a football game, you want a Coca-Cola, you try to give them a $20 bill, you won't get nothing.
That's right.
Everything is number. Number. And it's amazing to me, still I can go get groceries with plastic. Amen. Give me $100 worth of gas and just put a piece of clothes. Well, that's easy. Didn't he have to kiss that $100 bill? Bye. Just slide this thing and get what I want. And that thing right there has destroyed a lot of families right there.
Yeah, it does.
It's easy to do this. They got credit card debt as high as the ceiling. And ain't no way they can pay it at 24 or 25% interest. They'll never pay it by minimum payment. You have become a slave to the lender. Bondage. Woo! The devil's a liar. Now, we got to learn to pray for leaders because leaders are under attack. Now, I want you to turn with me quickly to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers, Old Testament, chapter 12. And let me show you something. Brother Vince had a perfect title for Wednesday night's message, and it said, "It matters who leads." It matters who leads. Y'all, everybody in here following somebody. You better make sure you're following the right man, the right person that's going in the right direction. Because the Bible says something about the blind leads the blind. And they both fall into the pit. Listen, you don't want to follow anybody that's blind. I ain't just talking about natural sight. I'm talking about they ain't got no insight. They ain't got no revelation. They ain't got no knowledge of the truth. And if you follow these kind of people, you will find yourself in a place called the lake of fire. Y'all hear me? They will lead you to being devoured. And you're going to say, how did I get here? You was foolish to follow a fool. Come on, y'all.
Amen.
And America is there. And I love America. But they ain't doing right. Numbers chapter... chapter 12. It's chapter 13. Chapter 13, I'm sorry. Numbers 13, verse, look at 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, look at this now, everyone a leader among them. So when Moses wanted to spy out the land of Canaan, he chose 12 leaders from one man from every tribe. Now what you got to understand is these are leaders. These ain't any, meeny, miny, mo dudes. These are leaders. The Bible says over in verse 3, they were the heads of the children of Israel. The heads of the children of Israel. I mean, he handpicked and selected the best leader from each tribe to go into Canaan and look at it and come back and tell me what you see. Remember, God has said, this land I have given you. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, and I'm giving it to you. Your enemies will be under your feet. Now, he sends in these 12 leaders. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, and then you got 10 others. And whenever they look and they come back after 40 days, they come back, these leaders come back and they tell Moses, the 10 leaders said, it's everything God said it was. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Look at this cluster of grapes. They are huge. But the Amalekites are there. The giants are there. And in their eyes, we look like grasshoppers. We can't go in there and get this land, they tell Moses. But Joshua and Caleb stand up and say, wait just a minute now. I know what God has said. And the knowledge of the truth is, God said, that's our land. God said, we well able to go in there and get it, and it's ours. But the 10 leaders led that whole nation of Israel. Israel sided with the 10 leaders that said, we can't. They brought back a bad report. And guess what? Them leaders led a whole nation into wandering into the wilderness for 40 years. They never got their inheritance because they listened to bad leaders.
Come on.
Will bad leaders get you in a mess?
Oh, yeah.
Woo! I tell you what they'll do for you. They'll get you $33 trillion in debt.
That's right.
That's what they'll do for you.
That's right.
I think these folks ought to be took out and shot somewhere.
Amen.
That's treason.
Amen.
Y'all say that preacher, he done gone crazy today. I ain't gone crazy.
That's the word.
I'm telling you, these folks ought to be held accountable for putting America into $33 trillion. That's enough money to stack $100 bills all the way up to Jupiter.
Come on.
That's a lot of money. That ain't no joke.
No,
probably stack it and come back again. $33 trillion. Let me tell y'all, that ain't never going to be paid off.
Come on.
We borrowing money from China. We borrowing money from other nations. And listen, the Bible said the borrower becomes the slave to the lender.
Come on.
That's why China is coming over here and buying our land.
That's right.
You know, I travel. Every nation I go to, if I want to buy land in Cambodia, I can't buy it. You know why? They never let a foreigner own but 49% of a deal. If you want to buy land in Cambodia or Thailand or anywhere like that, you can have 49%, but the Thai person or the Cambodian person is going to own the majority, 51%.
That's right.
They always hold that majority. The United States ain't got enough sense to do that.
No, we do not.
We're selling our country. I'm talking about farmland too. You know why they buying farmland?
Yeah, to prevent us.
Yeah, it all gonna come down to whenever you tell us we can't farm, we're gonna end up going to war with them. But I don't know what we're going to use for bullets because we ain't going to have no money for them. We're going to have to go back to Cowboy and Indian Day shooting bows and arrows. Ask the Indians how good that worked out. But I want you to see out of this Numbers chapter 13 where wrong leaders can lead a whole nation astray. Do you know that whole generation died in the wilderness? When only two of them, out of them 12, went and seen what God had for them and obtained an inheritance with Joshua and Caleb because they agreed with God. When you have a leader that does not agree with God, do not follow them.
Amen.
Because you will lose your inheritance. And you can't blame it on nobody else because you decided to follow them.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
You know, we're bad about blaming everybody else. But listen, whenever you go down there in a boat and you pull this tab and you agree with somebody that's ungodly, that knows that they don't know God, don't want to know God, listen, one of our candidates in this presidential race the other day was at a convention or rally, whatever, and somebody in the crowd said, "Jesus is Lord." And she heard it. And she said, "I think you in the wrong meeting. You in the wrong place." And then on the other side of the aisle, on the other side of the ticket, somebody said the same thing when he was speaking and said, "Jesus is Lord." And he stopped and said, "You are right.
That's right.
You are right." If that don't tell you which way you need to vote, something wrong with you. Light switch got to come on.
Come on.
Somebody say, "Jesus ain't Lord. Jesus ain't welcome in my meeting. I'm out of there."
Come on.
Like, oh no, I ain't agreeing with this, because if I agree with this, that blood gonna be on my shoulders.
Come on.
Be on my hands. So anyhow, I'm just telling y'all what a rubber hit the road today. Don't get mad with me now. But it's true. Now, look with me in Psalm 106. Just real quick. I want to show you something real quick. Something else we do it here in America. Psalm 106. And I want to encourage y'all, whenever you go home, read the whole chapter of Psalm 106. Because of time, I can't read the whole chapter to you. But I would encourage you to read the whole thing. We all know in here that God chose Israel.
That's right.
As his own peculiar people, special people. His own nation. He put his name on them. And he brought them out of Egypt when they were in bondage. Brought them out by signs and wonders. Did split the Red Sea. Fed them in the wilderness for 40 years. Their clothes didn't wear out. The shoes on their feet didn't wear out. They had water. Water came out of the rock. Came out of places that it shouldn't be coming out of. Water came. They had a cloud by day and a fire by night. Cloud to keep them from getting sunburnt during the day, a fire by night to keep them from freezing in the desert. God was good. He was faithful. He did what he said he was going to do. Now look what this nation did. And look at their fall. This is their fall. And this is where America's at right now. Psalm 106. And I want to just start off by, you have to read the whole thing yourself now. But look at verse 13. After God did all those things I just told you, brought them out of Egypt, split the Red Sea, gave them an inheritance. Look at verse 13, what happened. They soon forgot his works. They soon forgot. Ain't it Amazing how people, when they get ungrateful and unthankful, how soon they forget that you were good to them.
Come on.
You ever been good to somebody and in a matter of weeks, you're like, man, I called them to come over here and jump my car off. And you know, they won't even come over here and jump my car off. But I went and bought them a new set of tires to go on their truck or car when they were down and out. Now I need my car jumped off, and how soon they have forgot how I helped them.
That's right.
Come on. Anybody know?
Amen.
Well, the Bible said the children of Israel soon forgot what God had done for them. They did not wait for his counsel. Now, let's take a look at verse 20. This is the nation of Israel. They changed their glory into the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt. God had brought them out with a mighty outstretched arm. Supernatural signs and wonders. They forgot, and then they wanted a God that they could see. They could touch. They made them an ox out of gold when Moses didn't come off the mountain in time. And they had changed the glory of God, which is invisible, and the God of truth, into a God of that they this is our God, they said. It goes to show you that people that are sitting in the church today, y'all, some are walking in truth, and some are walking in a God of their truth. They'll say, whenever you preach the Word of God and you lay it out there line upon line, precept upon precept, they'll disagree with you and say, that ain't my God. My God ain't like that.
Come on.
My God's a God of love. He loves everybody. It don't matter what kind of sin they're in, God still loves them. I'm like, wait just a minute now. Your God may love everybody, and God wants everybody saved, but is there a penalty for your sin? The Bible said the wages of sin is death. God said that. It is going to be what God said. Some people say, nah, God ain't like that. God ain't throwing nobody in hell. You believe what you want to. But see, they got a God of their own choosing,
right.
Not the God that is the one true God. The God of truth is in this Bible.
That's right.
But they exchanged their God for something they could see, something that they could worship. Now look at verse 24. Then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe his word. That is the beginning of the end. Whenever you do not believe the word of God, but yet you want to believe in some other God of truth that ain't truth, but is a lie. And if you believe a lie, you shall be damned.
That's right.
There ain't but one truth. And if you have a glass of water and it's 100% water, hallelujah, it's water. But if you put one droplet of Kool-Aid in it, or one droplet of cyanide poison in it, it ain't no longer 100% water. It ain't nothing. It's been diluted. It ain't 100%. Truth is always 100%.
Right.
It ain't diluted. It ain't mixed. It ain't sugar-coated. It is what it is. It's the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Can I have anybody say amen off of you too today?
Amen.
Now, that's the beginning of the end. Whenever you don't believe God's word, you doomed. You can think what you want to. You can think the moon is cheese if you want to, but it ain't. That, when you don't believe God's word, now you ever meet an individual and you're trying to witness to somebody and you're sharing the word with them and they don't agree with that word, they're coming straight out of him and they're coming up with some other kind of garbage, they in trouble. Now, Israel was in trouble. Now, look what happened to them. They didn't believe the word. They were disobedient to the word. And then verse 28, they joined themselves to Baal. Baal is a an idol. There's a spirit behind every idol. Baal worship. Y'all heard of it before. In Jesus' day, they said, are you trying to cast out demon by the spirit of Baal? It's the fly god. The fly god. It's evil. It's demonic. And they joined, the children of Israel joined themselves to Baal. You know why they joined themselves? Because they didn't believe truth. They wouldn't submit to truth. They didn't believe his word. Now, look with me real quick. Listen, on social media, I seen a post that said when time changed that the pastor had an extra hour to preach today. Did y'all see that? Y'all gonna get well fed today. I'm trying to bless you now. Y'all stick with me now. Verse 35. They mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. Verse 36. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. Verse 37. This is a serious spiritual decline with Israel. And remember, it all started with they rejected the word of God. Verse 37. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood. The blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood, and they were defiled by their own works. And they played the harlot by their own deeds. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people, so that they abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the Gentiles, and those who hated them ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into the subjection under their hand. Many times he delivered them, but they rebelled in their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Y'all, that's where we are today. America, in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, you can write this down. I'm just going to tell you what it said. It's a lot in Romans chapter 1, verse 18. But one of the things it says, that men would suppress the truth. They would suppress the truth. That word suppress means to put a hold on it. To imprison it. We are in America today where a lot of people in our government, our leaders, they try to suppress the word of God. You know, this year is the first year they didn't have a national day of prayer in a long time. They didn't have it. Why? Because we got ungodly leaders. That's why. That don't care about the word of God or prayer. We have had officials and governments over the last 20, 30 years that have taken prayer out of school. They don't want the Bible in school. They don't want football players praying on school. They don't want them praying before wrestling matches. They try to suppress the truth. And it all comes from the head. When we have a man of God or someone that sits in our White House that says, I believe in God. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And the Bible should be read. That's the kind of people you want to be voting for. Not folks that are suppressing the truth. You don't want to suppress the truth. That's where Israel's downfall began. Man, oh man, oh man. We've opened our borders. And y'all, I don't know what you know about this, but I'm sure most of you do. When I travel, y'all know I travel. I cross borders all the time into Myanmar. No matter where you travel, in Myanmar, Cambodia, Thailand, and Africa, I cross borders all the time. I ain't never been to a country where the border was open. And they said, just come on through. ain't never. They look at us with a fine tooth comb and check us out. Take your picture, look at me, get your fingerprint, everything. I want to see if you who you are. And our government, these last 4 years, have opened the borders of America to come in and listen, and I know some coming for the American dream. But let me tell you how the devil works. The devil knows when the borders open, he's sending terrorists. He's sending rapists. He's sending murderers. He's sending drug dealers. He's sending sex trafficking guys. He's sending all this stuff in here to defile our whole nation.
That's right. Come on.
That's right.
And listen, if the truth is the truth, I think it was, I can't remember if it was Peru or Venezuela, one of them, opened their jailhouses up. The roughest criminals they had, opened them up and take them to the border and give them to America. That way we ain't got to feed them. We ain't got to worry about them in our population. Send them to America. So they come to America and they come over here. Now they're killing our sons and daughters. Have y'all seen the news?
Yes.
These children on college campuses that died. Mm-hmm. Sons, daughters, raped, murdered, cut, stabbed, gang banged, all kind of stuff. Yes. It's because you open a border. You don't open a border unless you vet people.
That's right.
You see what kind of people are coming into my country. You don't open the, when you open the floodgates of the borders, you open the floodgates of hell.
Come on.
And listen, we ain't even seen the devastation that's coming.
That's
because of what's coming through our border.
That's right.
You ain't seen it yet. But I guarantee you, Iran, Iraq, Syria, all them go, they send their, all them terrorists, they send them to the border. They came through here, and I guarantee you right now, they plotting a plan.
Right.
Come on.
You got to be blind in one eye, can't see out the other. See that?
That's right.
I'm telling you the truth.
Yes.
This is ridiculous. It don't even make common sense. If the Thai people and the Cambodia people and the Haitian people and all them has got their borders closed and America's got theirs open, we are insane.
Come on.
That don't even make no sense, y'all.
That's right.
Here's another thing that don't make no sense. Yo, if we bring in 12 million people, that's how many they say come in. They probably more than that. Because they come in the back of trucks, ain't everybody know, they didn't count every one of them. Listen, who do you think gonna pay for them folks to eat?
That's right.
They putting them in hotels in New York. You know who's paying their hotel bill? Miss Louise, and Sandra, and Janie, and Vince, and the worst. We putting them up in the hotels. Guess who's feeding them? They get a meal ticket.
Jesus.
Guess what? Our veterans can't even go to the hospital and get treated, and they served our country and got their legs blown off. They can't even go to the hospital and get treated without getting turned away because they say we ain't got enough funds.
Come on.
But they're giving it to folks that they don't even know. They ain't right. Ain't never going to be right. And then abortion's on top of that. You can't vote for politicians that are for abortions. That is a no-no. Whenever you pull that ticket and you vote for somebody, knowing not only are they for abortion, but they for abortion all the way up to 9 months. When a child is physically everything is formed. And they, that baby come out of the womb and they start tearing it apart.
Yeah.
That, if that ain't evil and if that ain't wicked, I don't know what wicked is. And we got people that are going there and vote thinking that don't matter to God. It does matter to God. That's called sacrificing your sons and your daughters to Molech, and their innocent blood will be on those people that go down there and pull that ticket thinking it don't matter. Don't be deceived. It matters. Children matter to God. Every one of them went to heaven. Every child that was aborted, they going to heaven. But I feel sorry for the parent that went in there with no conscience, killing their babies, And that person that did it, the doctor, for money, I'd hate to be anywhere near him when judgment comes. I don't even want to be nowhere near him when lightning strikes. Woo! Gonna be bad. Oh, but y'all, America's in a dilemma. There's a whole lot more need to be said, but I gotta close it up. If you've been watching us today, it's been an honor to be in your house. We hope that you enjoyed the message. We hope that it's been a blessing to you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the only remedy to fix in America. It's not a politician in the White House, but we can pray for those that are in leadership. We love you. God bless you.